It's very disappointing. It's always disappointing when civil society organizations are prevented from coming and speaking at the United Nations. This is a big, important discussion that's taking place here next month at the UN on how to end the HIV/AIDS crisis. That is the topic of this discussion. You're not going to end this crisis if you don't talk to and listen to and work with the groups representing people that are especially at risk and affected, disproportionately affected by this crisis.
11 groups are reportedly on the list. What can you tell me about those groups?
Well, we know that it includes a number of groups who work with marginalized gay men and transgender people in countries where access to services is really compromised and very challenging. And, you know, we need to listen to these groups. They're disproportionately at risk and affected by HIV and AIDS. And if any strategy is going to have any chance of working, you've got to work with the affected populations directly.
But would their exclusion from this particular conference have any lasting impact?
My understanding is there will be other groups present and participating in the conference who will be representing members of the LGBT community in countries around the world, those organizations that have got already existing accreditation status at the UN will have an opportunity to take part.
Do we know the reason these 51 countries gave to not invite these particular organizations?
Well, the way this process works, and it's a system that's been set up, of course, by the member states, is that if any organization wants to come and speak at one of these summits and they don't have already existing accreditation at the UN, then any member state can object to them without giving a reason. So it's a frustrating process. There's a silence procedure. A big list of organizations that wanted to come and take part were circulated to the member states. And it would have been enough, frankly, if any just one member state had objected. It would have blocked participation for any of those organizations.
In your work, you focus a lot on LGBTI issues. How disheartening is this type of situation for you?
Well, it's disheartening because we want all these groups to come and raise their voices and be heard at the UN. But it's not, I have to say, you know, completely surprising, because we've seen over time a systematic attempt to try to stifle the voices of the LGBT community. It hasn't worked, I have to say. You know, there's been an extraordinary upsurge of activism on the part of LGBT advocates. Here at the UN, I think their voices are heard louder and more clearly now than they ever have been before. And of course, they have extremely important allies, both amongst the member states and from the top of the UN Secretariat, from the UN Secretary General down.